Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian, happy Veterans Day to all who have served, and appreciation to you guys for tuning in on a Tuesday in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, the usual configuration, including you, getting involved on the text line, 713-572-4610. And, of course, talking back to us, courtesy of the Mocarum Injury Lawyers live streams. Whether it's the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, or the Twitch chat, 610 Houston, appreciate you getting involved, tapping in, where we have a message on the on the Twitch chat that just says, Rosencopter. That's it.
That's a legendary moment.
That's a moment in Texans lore.
Yeah, I mean, look, I very much enjoyed the moment in Cross where you absolutely set Ron on a path. I think you might have raised his blood pressure a little bit for no particular reason. Talking about the way in which that performance from the Texans, and particularly for Davis Mills, will go down in Texans lore. Mm-hmm. It goes down in a different way if it means something more, right? If it ultimately ends up being the pivotal point in this season that it could be. And so let's ask the question, how much more realistic now are the playoffs, right? Shout out, cue up Jim Mora if you need, because it was not too long. In fact, it was last week that Figgy Fig brought out 90-year-old Jim Mora bringing back the playoffs. And, you know, we felt like it was apt because – thank you, Jim. Yeah. We thought it was apt because that's what it felt like this Texans team was, right? You're just trying to win a game, or really, I think even more aptly, you're trying to string two together, right? You would get a win that would look somewhat promising, and you go on the backside of it, oh, here we go, where we don't heed the lessons that we've learned. Mm-hmm. We don't come out and look like a good squad, and all of a sudden, every win is chased with a loss. Now, you haven't really fixed that as of yet, because obviously you get this win, but now you give yourself an opportunity to. There's a favorable matchup across from you as your 8-point favorite, so at least you opened as that headed into Nashville, right? And it feels like you got a feeling where the offense looks like it's a lot more tenable. The defense looked as solid as possible, and you're able to come back against a seemingly insurmountable lead. Mm-hmm. John Lopez, for you, how much more realistic are the playoffs now?
I think the answer to that question is a question that we can all answer, and that is, who scares you? And I'm not talking about just the division. Who scares you in the AFC? Here you are, 4-5, you know, one game back from the number 7 seed, and that is a playoff berth. Who ahead of you scares you? Maybe the Patriots? Maybe the Colts?
I would say yes to the Patriots. The Colts are an interesting proposition. Obviously, we keep track of that all season long. They're AFC divisional rival, and, you know, we do our around the AFC South, which allows us to keep tethered to these teams. That team, they can run the football incredibly well. We've talked about that time and time again with Jonathan Taylor. Daniel Jones, he really just needs to operate the offense, make good decisions. We're starting to see like some of the care things. Like obviously he had 5 turnovers a couple weeks ago. Even in this game, he was not particularly solid, and teams are finding ways to attack him.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of a crack in the armor. I don't think it's significant enough to, one, tear them down when it comes to
win-loss record. Or to say they're going to implode or something.
Exactly. Yeah. But it does make that look a little more interesting. I think you still have to have a level of respect for them. But, yeah, I think that when it comes to the word scare, I don't know how I term that. I would still probably put the Colts in that
scare. And the Chiefs, I guess, just because of pedigree.
That is strictly off of pedigree. They are getting better, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not trying to neglect any of that. But the Chiefs just have a Rolodex They have a history of knowing how to get things done, and institutional knowledge, as I would like to call it. I think that that is probably what scares me more, and a quarterback that you know can take over a football
game. I guess my ultimate answer, if I were to compare it to like a win probability, which we've all seen, you know, and the Texans' win probability at 29-10 was very low, and then, of course, you know, they score the touchdown and it goes to very high. I think the win probability when it comes to the playoffs for the Texans going into Sunday was, I'm just going to throw a number out there, 35%.
That's for the playoffs?
Yeah.
It was lower.
You think it was lower?
It was lower.
All right. So let's say 25%. Their win probability in terms of making the playoffs now, I think, is over 60.
That is, it's still much lower than that.
Because, you think?
Yeah, you need to take care of business.
Well, because here's the thing. You have an opportunity to take care of business. Everybody in front of you, you've already beaten the Jags. They're directly in front of you in the division, and they may well implode. That was a devastating loss. Like a devastating loss for the Jaguars, both in terms of the vibe around the building and certainly, you know, their playoff hopes. So they could implode. But then you have two against the Colts. You face basically every contender ahead of you. You've already beaten the Ravens, and you face every contender ahead of you outside of the Patriots, you know, of the scary teams, Buffalo, Kansas City, as I mentioned, the Colts twice, the Chargers. So I think their playoff probability has vaulted significantly.
When it comes in terms to like actual playoff probability, you have to give me a moment because I know The Athletic has this little probability kind of a tool that you can go in and see. Play with if this happens, then that, you know, that is the probability. And I think I was indeed playing with that on Sunday. And I was kind of surprised that they were still, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. They're still pretty, still pretty far away when you talk about like the technical percentage chance of this thing happening. But I hear what you're saying in that you have an opportunity to control your own destiny. I think as it has been all season long, I understand your thought process with the other teams in the AFC and how each one of them has some fatal flaw that you can absolutely look at and say that's capitalizable, and we've seen teams that are lesser than those teams take advantage of those. The question I have is, how much do I believe that this Texans team, as currently constituted, can do what they're supposed to do on any given day? And then two, how much do I believe that they can go out and execute a game plan that then attacks another team consistently?
But what you're
really, I have a better belief in that after this weekend, but I can't say that it's by a lot.
But
if I'm going to be entirely
let's be entirely honest, you're talking about the offense, because there is no doubt about the defense. There is no doubt that the defense is going to be a problem, a big problem for every single team it faces. So we're talking about the offense.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is absolutely the case. I always feel bad talking about this defense because the bar is so high that any level of negativity that we could bring feels like it's undue. There's some instances where, you know, they can get a little leaky. There's been a number of plays where games have been lost on their watch, oddly enough, even though they've
we'll
done enough
to
win.
Yeah.
Right. They've done enough to win. But you've had, you know, third and long situations in a number of circumstances where teams have been able to convert on a defense that you feel like should be able to come up and make that play. So like it's odd to then have any level of, you know, I don't know, criticism for this defense while they are consistently, easily, not only the best part of your team, but one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. But yeah, I am talking about the offense in large part, right? We've lamented, we've mourned, you know, performances by this offense, and then we've seen it go up and down. I've seen people trying to give Nick Haley a lot of credit in this game, and he deserves some of it, but I don't know how much of that carries on week to week.
Yeah.
And that's the tough part about trying to project, right? I think the way that I view this team oftentimes, especially through the first half of the year, and I date back to last season where, you know, people are like, oh man, you just need to win. It doesn't need to look pretty. And I'm like, I'm not saying it needs to look pretty. I need to see things that I can
promising.
Use as promising that I can project forward.
Yeah.
This team has given us really weird data on things, on how you project forward, what their performances will be. And I think that's what it comes down to when you start trying to say, what does the playoffs look like? It is attainable. Like, if you just look at the standings, you got a 5-4 Kansas City Chiefs team and now a 5-4 Jacksonville Jaguars team ahead of you. And that's all it takes to get to a wild card spot as it's currently constituted.
Yeah.
We know that things are going to shift and change as games are actually played. But you are now within, you're within spitting distance, as some folks would say. That is encouraging in and of itself. But there is still a lot of getting yourself right, right? It's the movie where you see the conventionally unattractive girl all of a sudden take off her glasses, put her hair down, and she's attractive, right? Like, there's some of that feel where you go, oh, well, there's possibilities here. Yeah. You still got to work on yourself. Like, she probably still need to go to therapy. That's where this Texas team is, right? I still need to see some of the difficult work done with this team until I feel really confident or comfortable that they have a shot against those players.
No, I could not agree more. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, problem solved. You know, that all of a sudden this is the team that's just going to vault its way to, you know, to the top of the division and everything. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is their probability of doing that has increased exponentially because you know what you're getting from the defense. The offensive line showed a little life. And the A32 says, what the hell are you talking about, Lopez? They're going to lose to the Chiefs. They're going to lose to the Bills. And they're going to lose to the Chargers. Have you seen the Bills and the Chargers? I don't know, like this past weekend, did you see the Bills? The Chargers have been flighty. They're on a little bit of a roll, but you know, the whole any given Sunday thing has never been more in play than with this team this season.
Can I give you the, because I mentioned The Athletic having like a playoff simulator. As of right now, with the current, you know, with currently what's happening, their projections of the standings have the Patriots with the one seed at 13-4, the Colts 12-5 with the second seed, the Broncos winning the West 12-5, the Ravens coming back and winning that North.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, the wild card teams, they have the Chargers, the Bills, and the Chiefs all at 11-6, and the Texans at 8-9.
Yeah.
That is where like the projections have it. So like they still have even the Jags and Steelers outside looking in on this. There's still a lot of work to be done here to get yourself over it. But again, you've put yourself in the hunt, right? After the way that this season has started, after the fits and starts that they've had, you have an opportunity still.
Yeah.
We are not turning and opening up Dane Brugler and other mock drafts to start. You have an opportunity. That's all you could ask for right at this moment, or at least this week. That's all you can maybe try and give yourself is an opportunity, but there's still work to be done.
There's absolute work to be done, and I just can't emphasize that enough. I'm not saying, oh, hey, here we go. What I am saying is their opportunity is right, not just right in front of them, but in their control. In their control.
Sure, but like I can't get past the things that they need to fix. Like, hell, even this game, right? You talk about the way in which the Davis Mills game has an opportunity to really etch itself very strongly into Houston Texans lore. They were doing things that they haven't done in a long time. Get this, right? The overall success rate on design rushes in this game, 55%. You want to know how good that is for the Texans? It's the best they've put up since week one of last year versus the Colts. You remember what the feeling of Joe Mixon in that game?
Yeah.
That game that you saw against the Jaguars,
was the best
that they've done running the football.
Mm-hmm.
How much can you say that that's replicable, especially when you talk about that being an important part of this offense, them going and pushing people being an important part of what that fourth quarter comeback was, and the idea that you needed a fourth quarter comeback is something that we can't rush over. Like, those things are still there, but at the very least, I am very happy as somebody, selfishly, somebody who talks about this team, right, is paid to do that, that there is reason to talk about this team and that there's still light at the end of the tunnel. It's not just the little dot at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
It still looks somewhat viable, even if it's not the most plausible.
Viable, and how likely is it? I mean, who knows? Is CeeDee Sal going to play again? Because I don't know about that.
And that's one of the things that makes me go, I'm not gonna jump to the place where I go, oh, yeah, this is more likely than not that they do something. Because they're still doing stuff like bringing somebody up the practice squad to start over dudes that you had on the active roster.
That's right. They absolutely are.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Tuesday. Coming up next, speaking of The Athletic, The Athletic put together a top 25 of the quarter century in the National Basketball Association. Three Rockets, current or former, on this list. Are they in the right place? 713-572-4610. Let's talk.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
About it next. Yes, happy Tuesday to you in the loop. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Where somebody asked from the 281, what time will y'all give away the Cougars game tickets? That's right. We're giving away U of H Cougar tickets all week long to see the game versus TCU football, that is. We'll be doing that in 12 o'clock hour. So keep it locked right here on Sports Radio 610. Also, I just keep looking up. Did you see this reporting that came down? I first saw it from Mark Stein, but then I also saw Sham Sharania and Tim McMahon of ESPN getting on this. Our neighbors to the north, the Dallas Mavericks, apparently trying to fix the big old mistake that they made. Seems like the governor of that team is expected to fire Nico Harrison here soon today after trading away their best player for a older player who has shortens their window and is frequently hurt. And he really tore that thing apart.
Yeah, he tore it apart. It was a well-earned firing, if there is such a thing.
What I will absolutely love is once this thing happens, is if we get the reporting that they mutually agreed to part ways.
Oh, God, no.
That will make
me
smile.
You know how that makes me feel.
That'll make me laugh.
And I hate the governor thing even more now than ever before. The governor of that team.
Really?
It's the owner, man. It's the owner. And you know why? Because there is an actual governor taking part in sports in Louisiana.
Well, I mean, there's same names.
Why do they have to
different
overthink
positions.
This?
It's not really an overthink thing.
Yes, it is. He's the owner. Done. Let's go.
I mean, there's not the governor isn't always the owner.
It's
though.
Not always, but it's largely the owner.
So it's fine. They use a specific
so who
language.
Is the owner?
Miriam Allison.
Mm-hmm. The governor to you, Figgy.
She's not the governor of the team.
Oh, that's right. The governor is that other
dude.
Is
Patrick Dumont.
Yeah.
There you go. Like, there's different circumstances
get
here.
Get out of here with
you
that.
Get, I mean, look, you're getting mad over here. Something that really doesn't matter. You love
yes,
the,
I'm getting so, mad over so, something that does matter.
So who made the firing? Was it the governor or the owner?
Well, as far as we know, the firing is still to happen. However, I believe it's a Patrick Dumont joint there. We'll talk about that more as more details come along. But, yeah, that's a thing that's happening in the NBA. Also a thing that's happening NBA-wise. The Athletic NBA staff put together a top 25 as we are reaching. You know, we're in 2025. In fact, we're almost in 2026. Crazy to think about it. But that first quarter century is in the books. And so with that being the case, they put together a top NBA players of the 21st century to this point. Mm-hmm. Obviously, 25 for 25. There are three current or former Rockets on this list. First and foremost, do you already know who the... Actually, I believe there's four now that I think about it. I might have missed one. Do you remember... Do you? Well, I guess you're looking at the list now, so you know who they are. Figgy, have you seen this? Do you think you could guess who those four Rockets are?
Just like what you mean, like the best players?
Like
or
top is there five? Did I miss someone else? Goodness gracious. All right, so there's five. Now you have more opportunity to get it right.
Can we just go with the starting lineup at this point?
So there's five... Current or former Rockets.
It might be four. Hold on. Let me look.
No, you're right. There's five.
Yeah.
On this list. Top 25 NBA players to play in any at all in the last 25 years.
James Harden.
James Harden is on the list.
I want to say Chris Paul.
Chris Paul is on
Chris
the
Paul,
list.
Chris Paul, okay. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant is on the list. Those are the three that I was immediately thinking of, and then I forgot a couple of them.
I'll say Carmelo.
Carmelo is on the list. Good call. You got one more.
Russell Westbrook.
Not Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
Is Russ on there? Did I miss Russ?
It's six.
Oh,
six.
I missed Russ.
Yeah.
And then the final one is a man who people seemingly don't rock with. It is Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
So actually,
salute
there's six.
Salute to Daryl Morey, man.
Yeah, man. Like they've had a lot of talent. Obviously, I think like three of them kind of filled the same
only
role.
Only one of these counts. Maybe two. One and a half.
All right. Which are the ones that count then?
Chris Paul and James Harden.
Those are the only ones that count?
Yeah.
The Carmelo shouldn't count, man.
Y'all some jerks, man. He played for the Rockets.
Russ, he should count.
Yeah.
He played a full season.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And he was actually okay here.
All right, so with that being the case, the way that this list breaks down, the best player to have played in the last 25 years is the dude who played for damn near all of them, LeBron James, that comes in. I found it interesting very early on this list how this breaks down because number two, they go with Steph Curry, and then three is where they go put in Tim Duncan. Do you agree with that breakdown with Steph Curry, I think, largely being considered, clearly the best shooter of all time, one of the best point guards of all time? But then Tim Duncan is probably the best power forward that we've seen.
Yeah, of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I found it interesting that you end up with that split there.
You know what? I'm not going to stomp my feet over it. I could see the argument both ways. I really can. So I think that's a great top three. Then you get into some of these others, and it starts getting interesting. I think four is probably right.
You think Kobe? Yeah, Kobe at four. Mm-hmm. Jokic. Jokic is a tough one because it's really hard to in the moment play someone in the larger context of history.
Yeah.
Jokic is one where it feels like we are still somehow underappreciating him a little bit, as he is, you know, his. Wrangled hold or wrestled hold of being the best player in the world, and it's not really close.
Yeah.
But it's like, how does that compare with Kobe Bryant, who also had a moment of being the best player in the world, and then also like his legacy has grown even more so as the years have passed. But regardless, you have that. Kevin Durant comes in at six. How do you feel about this? Because again, he is also another one that feels like he should. If we're tearing this off, there is probably. That top tier of three there with Bron, Steph, and Tim.
Yeah.
And I think after, or maybe I'm wrong in putting Kobe Bryant on that secondary tier. Maybe you have him on that top
one. I'm with you.
And then after you have this kind of group of guys, and I mentioned Kevin Durant at six, Shaq is after him at seven. To me, that was odd for me.
To me, I think Shaq should be higher. I think he should probably be right there where Kobe is or right behind Kobe.
It's
that 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty much the entirety of what he comes in, what is that, 97 that he comes in?
Or is he was a little, he was in the 98, 90s.
Right, like he comes in I'm missing that because he came in 92 with Orlando, and then there was 96 to 04 in LA. So I'm missing, the early parts of his career where he was young and like just a menace of an athlete aren't there. So actually it feels a lot more different if I forget or if I slide that in the appropriate way where you cut off those early portions of it. Yeah, that makes sense. Giannis, Dirk, D-Wade finish out the top 10. So none of the Chris Pauls, James Hardens, Carmelo Anthony's, Russell Westbrook's, none of those guys make the top 10. Does that feel right for you? And if there was a guy to kind of contend for that, who would it be of those Rockets?
I think obviously it would have to be James Harden. As much as frustrating as it was that they didn't get the ultimate prize, I mean, there was a stretch there where, I feel like on this list as I'm looking at it and kind of absorbing it, I feel like pure scorers got knocked down a peg.
Yes.
Pure scorers. Like it had to be like the guys that did the complete game. The dominant players on the inside, some of the dominant players defensively and blocking shots like Tim Duncan and rebounds and all that. But the pure scorers were all knocked down. Kevin Durant is one of the best scorers in the history of the game.
A lot of people will look at him as the best scorer in the history of the game. Yeah,
but he's certainly in the conversation.
Yeah.
James Harden, one of the best scorers of his time, and he's 14.
I feel like James Harden, the clear weakness ends up hurting him. We know that being here in Houston, that the thing that became such an easy knock was the folks that got on YouTube, which damn Google again, right? Got on YouTube and put up the clips of here are the low lights of James Harden defending. That will always be a knock on him, and it feels like it hurts him in like the larger legacy level conversations as well. Here,
I think you could say Dirk, an absolute scoring menace. Maybe, he's running that same vein as Durant. And if you want to go down a little farther, Melo. The scorers all got knocked down a peg.
Well, Carmelo, I understand why he was knocked down. He was a scorer, but ultimately he didn't end up being a big-time winner.
Yeah.
Right? Because, again, when you get to the top 25, this is where we pick nits. This is where we have to find tiebreakers in these places. And I think winning ultimately also has a factor in a lot of this. I think that's where you see some of this, where someone like Dwight Howard, who carried an Orlando Magic team to the finals by his lonesome early on, something that I feel like is way too often forgotten in his career.
And his defense.
His defense was absolutely otherworldly. And another thing that is forgotten, we talked about him like he's a 7-footer. That dude was like solid 6'10". Right? He was he wasn't as tall as we gave him credit for. Mm-hmm. He ends up at 18 behind Allen Iverson. Mm-hmm. And that feels like if we liked Dwight more, mm-hmm. I think that he would get more love in that regard. Mm-hmm. Just to round this out, Chris Paul ends up being the second highest Rocket or former Rocket on this, being at 13, the point guard himself, like fantastic point guard, but again, not winning, I think, hurts him. Mm-hmm. James Harden at 14.
Same.
James Harden above Steve Nash, interestingly enough, when we get to point guards and point guard row here. Harden 14, Nash 15, Russell Westbrook 16.
Man, that's just production. I mean, that's just absolute year in, year out production. He's earned it.
And then finishing this out, Luka Doncic starting to climb the ranks at 19. Paul Pierce, Anthony Davis, Jason Kidd, Jason Tatum. Carmelo comes in at 24. And it feels like Carmelo, not to say that obviously this 25, top 25, it's not going to be the same. It's not like it's going to continue. But if they were to like kind of extend this out 26, 27, I think Carmelo slides very quickly as Shea comes in at 25.
Yeah.
He will quickly usurp him. He's just so early in his career. Is there anybody else that you felt like was not appreciated in this?
That's what I'm thinking of right now. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of anybody who should be on the list.
So people are bringing up, where's T-Mac? T-Mac just, he got robbed by injuries. Like injuries absolutely took away what should have been of the T-Mac career. I think Yao, I love Yao. Short career, which I guess you can also talk about with injuries. The short career, and is it fair to say a lack of dominance for Yao as a big?
He was pretty dominant at his best. He was pretty, he could do just about everything.
But it was a short run of dominance probably the way that you go about there. Ultimately, do you feel, are they in the right spot here?
With who?
Your Rockets.
Oh, yeah. I think maybe Kevin Durant, but look at the guys ahead of him. It's hard to argue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing is like, if Kevin Durant is at six again, Jokic above him, Kobe Bryant above him, Tim Duncan above him, Steph and LeBron.
Hard to argue.
I have a hard time.
Yeah.
Finding that guy that he jumps over. Does the Rockets win this year?
Is Kawhi ranked right at 12?
Kawhi at 12 is tough.
Two-time NBA Finals MVP.
The first NBA Finals MVP, I feel like we're doing a lot. But I think that 19 19 championship with the Raptors where he goes in and takes a team that probably didn't have an opportunity and goes and wins it. Mm-hmm. I think that carries a lot of this here. Somebody said Carmelo should be top 20. Okay. Appreciate Carmelo Anthony's family texting in. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to the question of the day. On this Veterans Day, where we salute all who have served, let's have a little fun with it. What character would you be in a war movie? 713-572-4610. Let us know. We'll talk about it next. All right, question of the day here in the loop on a Veterans Day. Again, appreciation to everyone who has served. It is something that I know myself not capable of, right? I have a great appreciation for those who willingly made the decision to do such a thing. And we salute you on this day. And let's have a little fun with it. We welcome in our friend Tyler Milliner of The Drive, as he is a big cinephile, and I think he has a great appreciation for this question of the day. What character would you be in a war movie? 713-572-4610. Lopez, you've clearly given a great amount of consideration to
us. I have. And I don't know if this is fair, because I'm sure people will have funnier ones for me, but I can relate to Joker from A Full Metal Jacket. Kind of a smartass and a writer and narrates everything. And is that you, John Wayne? Is this me? That sounds like something I would get yelled at too. And Tyler Milliner, we're talking about this before the show, and I didn't even think of this one. He called himself Forrest Gump.
Yeah. If I'm being honest, if I'm really thinking about all of the characters out there, and I was just talking to Reggie about this, if people do not know, a very close second passion for me in life to sports is anything cinema.
Yeah.
And I love military movies.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all asked me this question of the day, which I love. I cannot wait to hear where this goes. But if I'm being completely honest and thinking about it, I mean, I didn't enlist. I'm not as brave as a lot of folks out there. And I feel like I kind of luck into things from time to time. And he had a love for football in his own way. I'd probably have to go Forrest Gump.
Run, Tyler, run.
I love that you went to the direction of I'm not the bravest because I also did that. I let the cat out of the bag of some sorts that MASH is where my brain keeps going to.
Yeah.
I thought of Corporal Klinger. Now, this is more the television show.
Hear me, wear the dress.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, man, get me out of here by any means possible, by hook or by crook. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's I had an appreciation for the idea of, hey, man, what do I got to do to go home?
To get out of this.
What do I got? Especially since I'm such a homebody. Like, what do I have to do to get myself home to Toledo?
I want to go home.
So he's the deserter. He's the deserter.
I never said I was a brave person. Honestly, the first thing I thought about was like BJ Honeycutt in the same space where his whole thing was, I'll do what I have to do, but I'm not doing anything more than
nothing
that.
More.
I was like, you know what? We could push that up a little bit. Yeah. Let's go full Corporal Klinger.
I find your love. I was talking about this too, J-Lo. It is so funny to me, like Reggie's experience with MASH, his love for that show MASH, because I'm a little bit older than Reg. I've never seen a second of that show.
Oh, it's so good.
And I've never heard anything but great things, but I've never watched that television program.
You heard Figgy weigh in. I can't put my finger on what Figgy would
Figgy's
be.
Figgy's tough.
I was kind of thinking the character Robert Wool played in Good Morning America, Good Morning Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind of the sidekick, but also kind of runs everything and has these smart little one-liners, you know, that he's constantly throwing out. So that's about the best I can come up with for Figgy.
Yeah, Figgy's tough. I was thinking maybe a little Major Pain for Figgy, keeping everybody in order. Well, keeping everybody in order, kind of the same thing J-Lo was just saying, keeping everybody in order in line, but, you know, keeping things funny, obviously, at the same time.
I have absolutely dominated this segment with MASH, so I do want to move around a little bit. However, on the YouTube, Rob came with the exact answer that I thought of, but I was like, this feels mean. Figgy would be radar for MASH, where he just kept everything in tow and just had little funny one-liners here and there. But that feels like that might be mean. That feels like it might be mean for me to throw out there.
I can tell you Clint Sterner is.
Yeah, who's Clint?
Clint Sterner is, without a doubt, this is the first woman y'all asked the question I thought of. Clint Sterner is 100% Lieutenant Aldo Raine from Inglourious Basterds.
That's Brad Pitt's character, right?
Yes, yes. We're killing Nazis, and I need my scalp.
Just like quaint folksy accent, crotch first. Yeah, 100%. Which that Ned then raises the question. We're on the show, Hughley.
Oh yeah,
this one is also a little tough for me. There's some options.
What is whose show? What are the options that are bouncing around?
There's so many movie characters. I said one earlier, or thought of one earlier, and now I can't think of it.
Was it from Forrest Gump 2?
Bubba?
He's Bubba.
He can't be Bubba, man.
I'm just kidding.
The one that I thought of.
Lieutenant Dan.
Ron, is anyone from Stripes? 281 said they're Bill Murray from Stripes. I think the one I thought of is Robin Williams' character in Good Morning Vietnam.
That's just right, like, where my mind was just going, just because he's so loud, really.
He's loud. He'll bring you, well, you have to deal with that every day now, don't you? He'll bring you all sorts of silliness in service of a point. No, I thought that was absolutely one that I came to. Can we bring this to our sports characters in Houston? Mm. Or who would D'Amico Ryans be?
D'Amico would be... probably the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
You slimy bleepity bleep. Bleep.
At least lately, yeah. At least lately.
When he's in the press conference at the very least.
You guys good?
Yeah, you guys good? I think Seth could be Jeremy Irons from The Hurt Locker.
That one is damn near perfect.
Right?
Explain the character to me, because I actually never went to
the guy that is kind of, he has to defuse the bombs, and he's wearing that big suit.
Seth would be into
something like that.
Yeah.
And smart guy, and, you know, willing to do it, all that stuff. Either that or Private Pyle from Full Metal Jacket. Could snap at any minute.
Yes.
Without question. This is an interesting one that just came to mind for me. Joe Espada.
Joe Espada.
Like is I was like, because you guys are deep in the war film movie. Like where do you find a character that might be Joe Espada in the war film?
He might be the Lieutenant Dan.
You think so?
Yeah. Like trying to keep everything together, especially this past season with all the injuries.
Yeah.
And the arms left and right. He's trying to keep everybody in line, and he's willing to die for his team.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Which was very much on the table when the season ended. We were all wondering, okay, we're not saying it's likely, but Espada could be gone.
Lieutenant in Band of Brothers that doesn't do anything but is best friends with the main character is what somebody comes up with. We got D'Amico being Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan. Does that fit? Mm-hmm. Somebody said they'd be Private Ryan because they'd be captured immediately. I respect the awareness there.
I thought of another one for Tyler. This is absolutely Tyler.
All right,
let me hear it.
Robert De Niro in The Deer Hunter. Playing Russian roulette.
Ah! Ooh, I'm not sure I've seen this.
You haven't seen The Deer Hunter?
Bringing up any memories.
Make it a point. He's the guy that he says, put another bullet in the gun, and he's screaming. Ah!
Shoot, if it's a military movie, I'm all about it. I'm gonna check that out.
You have to see The Deer
Hunter.
I can't
even think of what it is.
Yeah.
You know who else could be Private Ryan?
Who's that?
Just in the corner, holding their knees, screaming, holding on for dear life, waiting for the end. Nick Cayley.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Cayley is Private Ryan right now. Yeah. Grenades going off all around him.
He's trying to hold it together.
Just trying to hold it together. Just trying to find new ways to score from the 2-yard line.
I love this. All right. Rapid fire, a couple of characters. What 6'10 personality or Houston sports figure is this the Irish dude in Braveheart?
The Scottish dude, isn't it?
Scottish, rather. Yeah, yes, thank you.
Scottish.
Yeah,
dude.
That was off on my part.
Mel Gibson, you're talking about?
Yes.
Who is that?
That's such a good movie. I haven't seen it in a long time.
That is. I'm trying to think. I keep coming back to T-Mill on that one too.
I'll take it.
Major
let's
Pain.
Let's go, because T-Mill's always the let's go.
Somebody
guy.
Said J.J. Watt, or is that that's one of the linebackers, right? Is that Watt or is that Cushing? Mm-hmm. Is that where are we going? Watt,
Cushing would fit, but T-Mill's always the one that says let's go.
LFG,
let's go.
All right,
Will Anderson Jr. maybe too.
Yeah.
Will has just like a general just. Happiness for life. All right. Robert Downey Jr.'s character in Tropic Thunder.
Who is that?
I'm a dude playing another dude, acting like another dude. Gosh, that character was so good. Who would that be? That is an honor.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you guys work on that one.
I got to think on that one.
Somebody said that one's wrong. Okay, regardless, we were having a little fun, but obviously Veterans Day, very important day to salute the people who have served, given their time to service of the country. So we appreciate you here on this day. Hope that you are enjoying your day. And like one of the texters said, happy 250th birthday to the Marine Corps. All of that here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. T-Mill, appreciate you jumping in. Hope that you enjoyed it.
Appreciate you guys. That was fun as hell. I love the question of the day. This one is one of my favorites in a long time. I like it.
Watch The Deer Hunter.
Is Jack Easterby that character?
Which one?
Robert Downey Jr.'s character.
Ooh, yeah, very possible. Yeah,
coming up next, let's go around the NFL, did the coaches want to win Monday Night Football? We talk about that and more next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.